Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This is Pentecost Sunday, and we're excited about that. It's the we're reminded of when essentially the church started over 2,000 years ago, when the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, came onto God's people. So I see some people wearing red. I don't know if it's for Memorial Day or Pentecost Sunday, but it's exciting that you're festive. Well, I'm excited. Today we get to continue in our series on seasons, and I'm tasked today with talking about marriage and family, And so how fitting on Family Sunday that I get to talk about that, which also means I won't preach as long because I understand. I'm in the fight with you, parents, of how it is to have your children sit still or be quiet, or it is what it is. We'll have fun. But today I want to look at a passage that may be familiar to some of you. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to start at verse 21 and go all the way down to Ephesians 6, verse 4. And I actually want to read it in your hearing. I feel like I'm, there we go, a little closer to y'all. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 21. And it reads like this: submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Verse 22, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. As Christ, gentlemen, don't let me get y'all in trouble today. As Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. All right, gentlemen, here we go. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1, a verse that my wife says a lot in our house. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I want to preach from this thought, this idea this morning, building a Christ-centered family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you guide us. We thank you for this moment that we get to hear your word preached. I pray, God, now that you soften hearts, that there may be maybe some, that this subject may be difficult for some, who are here, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would guide them, that you would allow your people to receive the word that you have for them. Lord, it's in the perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. So as I was preparing this week, as I was thinking about this message, I thought about my own family. And I learned one thing. You know, family is beautiful, but family can also be complicated. Like there are moments in my house where it just feels like a beautiful Hallmark commercial where everybody is singing and laughing and getting along and they're smiling and the kids are sharing their items. They're not using the word mine. They're just having fun. And then there are other moments where it feels like a reality TV show. It's just no script, just straight chaos in the house. There are moments where I'm like, man, I love this. This is what I prayed for. I'm grateful. I'm present. I wouldn't trade this for anything. And then there are other moments where I'm begging the Lord for patience, because if I don't get patience in that moment, I may do something I regret. I'm begging for wisdom. I'm begging for grace, because family will stretch you. But at the same time, family will shape you. And I know I'm not the only one here. Some of you are here, you're married, and you, whether newly married or been married for decades, and you're still trying to figure this marriage thing out. Learning how to love one another well, learning how to still communicate with each other, learning that certain expectations that your spouse has, and now it's 10 years later, now it's a different expectation that they have. Some of you are raising kids right now, trying to be present, trying to lead, trying not to mess your kids up. Some of you have already raised your children, and now you're watching your grandchildren, and you're praying over the next generation. Some of you are single here, wondering what this even looks like, asking God, what does my future look like? Some of you are trying to rebuild something that didn't work the first time, coming back with wisdom, but also with some questions. And then there are others who are here in situations that may be a little complicated, trying to figure out what obedience looks like in real time. Everyone in this room is in a different season when it comes to family, different expectations, different experiences, different stories, different levels of joy, and even pain attached to it. But here's the good news. God is not confused about any of it. He sees every situation. He sees every season. He sees every struggle that you are in. He sees what's working and what's not working. He sees what's broken and what you're trying to put back together. And he doesn't step back from it. He actually steps into it. He steps into your life wherever you are and whichever season you're in. And not only does he see it, he speaks directly into it. He speaks into it with truth and with wisdom and with grace. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here in this passage. Paul, the writer of this text, he's just the man who the Holy Spirit used to inspire this word, this particular letter. In Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, Paul is talking about real relationships. He's talking about marriage and parenting. He's talking about family dynamics, not in a perfect world, but in a real world with real people trying to just follow Jesus. Now he's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. Now, this was a diverse and influential city. People from all different backgrounds, different cultures, different ways of life, all coming together. And many of them are new believers. They've recently encountered Jesus. But they're still learning what it means to actually follow him. They're learning how the gospel doesn't just change what you believe. It actually changes how you live. It changes how you think. It changes how you relate to people. And one of the main places that transformation happens to show up is in your home. They had just come to know Jesus, but they were still learning how to live like him, especially in their homes, in their marriages, in their parenting, in their everyday relationships. Because it's one thing to follow Jesus on Sunday when you know everybody's watching you, when you got your Sunday best on, when you know people are expecting you to be a Christian. It's one thing to follow Jesus on that day. It's another to follow him in your house when nobody's watching, when tensions rise, when real life hits you. So the question today becomes, what does it look like to follow Jesus in our relationships? What does it look like to follow him in our marriages as we parent in every season of life? Because the truth is, no family season is random or wasted in the hands of God. God meets us in every season of family life and calls us to reflect Christ in how we love, how we lead, and how we live together. Now, before Paul talks about husbands and wives, before he talks about children and parents, he starts with one foundational idea here in verse 21. He says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, this whole conversation about family doesn't start with roles. It starts with Jesus. We need to know this one thing. Christ is the center of every season. See, Paul says, again, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, that word submission here, I know often we don't like to use that word. Because when we hear submission, we think of weakness. When we hear the word submission, we think we're losing control. We think somebody being over us. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Biblical submission is not about control. It's actually about a posture. It's a posture that says, I'm not the center, Jesus is. It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of honor. It's a posture that says, I'm going to treat you in a way that reflects Christ. Notice what he says here. He says, out of reverence for Christ. That means the way that I treat you is connected to the way I see him. If I truly honor Jesus, it will show up in how I speak to you. If I truly love and honor Jesus, it will show up in how I respond to you and how I love you. So before we ever get to wives do this, husbands do that. Before we get to children do this, parents do that. Paul says everybody in the house needs to check their heart first. Are you living like Jesus is at the center? Because it's easy to say Jesus is Lord until you get into an argument. It's real easy to say Jesus is King until you're tired, until you're frustrated, until you gotta hurry up and get out the house, get the kids to school, and get to work on time. It's easy to say Jesus is Lord until they say something that gets on your nerves. And now the question is, amen. And now the question is, am I going to respond like Christ or react from my flesh? This applies to everybody. It applies whether you're married or single, whether you're young or seasoned. It applies whether your family is thriving or if it's complicated or if it's both. Submission is not just about, it's not just a marriage word. It's actually a discipleship word. Before God fixes the family, he works on your heart. Before he changes your relationship, he calls you to fully surrender to him. And once Christ is at the center, now we could talk about what it looks like to live in our unique roles. Because when Jesus is in his rightful place, everything else starts to fall into alignment. I need you to know this second piece here, that marriage ought to reflect Christ. And once Christ is at the center, now Paul begins to show us what that actually looks like in relationships. He moves from this principle, this idea, to actually painting the picture. He moves from the abstract to bringing it closer to home. This passage is not just about marriage roles. It's about reflecting Christ. Marriage in God's design is supposed to be a living picture of how Jesus loves his people. So when we hear wives submit to your own husband as to the Lord, I know it gets quiet sometimes when we hear that, but I want to talk about it the right way. Biblical submission is not about inferiority. It's not about silence. And it is never a justification for abuse or control. Submission is about order. It's about trust. It's about willingly aligning under God's design. It's a posture that says, I trust God enough to do it His way. You see, a godly woman is not weak. She is strong enough to trust God. Notice it says, as to the Lord, which means this is ultimately about her relationship with Christ. It's not just her husband. Now, I know we got excited, gentlemen, as I was reading the text. We were shouting, we were getting excited, but I want you to know, Paul spends a lot more time getting us right in this passage. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Not as culture defines love, not as convenience allows love, but as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for the church. He lived sacrificially for the church. He was selfless. It costed him. So biblical leadership does not look like control. That actually looks like a cross. You don't lead your wife by demanding your respect. You lead her by laying your life down. That means loving when it's inconvenient. That means loving when she tells you what to do over and over again and you don't like it. That means serving when you're tired. That means showing up when you don't feel like it. Jesus didn't just love the church at his best. He actually loved it at its worst. So the question is, can you love like that? Now hear me, even if you're not married, this still matters. This shows you what to look for. It shows you what maybe to become. This shows you what Christ-centered love actually looks like. And at the end of the day, marriage is not just about compatibility. It's about Christ being formed and how we love one another. And when that kind of love is present in a home, it doesn't just affect the marriage. It actually shapes the next generation. And so lastly, we need to know family is for formation, not just for function. The text says here in the first two verses of chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor your father and your mother. Then verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As Paul starts here with the children, you need to know when he says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother, this is actually about order. This is about learning respect. This is about understanding authority. And I want to say this, honor does not expire when you turn 18. It does not expire when you turn 21. It does not expire when you turn 50. You may not have to obey like you did as a child, but honor is still required to your parents. Now, I know for some of you that's hard because your relationship with your parents are complicated. You're saying, Pastor Ricky, you don't know what type of mom or you don't know what type of dad I had. But honoring doesn't always mean agreement. It doesn't always mean closeness. It means you choose to carry yourself in a way that reflects Christ. Even when the relationship isn't perfect. Then he shifts from the child's relationship with the parents to the parent relationship with the child. He says, do not provoke your children to anger. Man, I want to tell y'all a quick story. So I woke up this morning at a good time. I woke up, you know, when you wake up that early, it's only the Holy Spirit. It's only God that you can spend time with. So I woke up, I felt good. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was praying for each and every one of you all here. And I felt I was on a mountain. Then my kids woke up. And then all that flesh started coming out. And I had just finished going through the sermon, and I was Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Fathers, don't. I kept replaying that in my mind, but then they kept doing stuff, and I'll leave that there. But what Paul is essentially trying to tell us, he's saying, don't crush their spirits. Don't be harsh. Don't be inconsistent. Don't be absent. Be present with your children. He says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This phrase, bring them up, means to nurture, to develop, to raise with intentionality. Your job is not to raise good kids. Your job is to actually raise up some godly people. That means you don't just correct behavior, you shape hearts. You don't just provide, you disciple. You don't just tell them about God, you show them what he looks like. And let me say this. Some of us parent based upon the way we parented. So if you loved how you were raised, you try to repeat it. But if you hated how you were raised, you try to do the exact opposite. But either way, you're still letting your past set the pattern. But God didn't call you to copy your parents or react against them. He called you to follow Jesus in how you raise your children. So the question is not just, what did my parents do? The question is, what is Christ forming in me as a parent? Now, let me widen this a little bit, because if you're a parent, this is your calling to raise your children up to be godly people. If you're a grandparent, you still have that influence, whether your children let you in or not. You still have influence over them. If you're older, you are helping shape the next generation, whether you realize it or not. And even if you don't have children, you're still called to invest in people. And I want you to know this. Some of us didn't grow up in homes that came out of Ephesians. So some of us didn't, or some of you didn't grow up in homes where your father or your mother read scripture to you and they walked with the Lord. Some of you are still carrying wounds from how you were raised. Some of you didn't have this model for you. But hear me, your past does not disqualify you from building something different today. At the end of the day, family is not just about structure, it's about formation. And the question is, what are we being shaped into? Here's what we've seen today, that when Christ is at the center, it changes how we relate to one another. It changes how husbands love. It changes how wives may respond. It changes how children honor. It changes how parents lead. But if we're honest, no one in here has done this perfectly. Some of us have missed moments. Some of us have said things or done things we wish we could take back. Some of us are carrying regret. Some of us are trying to fix in this moment what feels broken. But this is why the gospel is such good news, because Jesus is the only one who actually got it all right. He's the only perfect son. He's the only perfect husband to the church. He's the only perfect head. And instead of condemning us for where we fall short, he steps into our brokenness and offers us grace. So if your family is less than perfect, if your family is complicated, if your family has stuff that you would not want to tell the church, join the club. We're all there. But more than that, God says, welcome into his grace. Because God is not waiting for you to fix everything. He's inviting you in to bring it all to him. So whatever season you're in, if you're married, I want you to know God will strengthen your marriage. If you're single, God is shaping you. If you're parenting, God can guide you. If you're hurting, God can heal you. If you're rebuilding, God can restore you. God is not finished with your family story. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, God is still working through you. So here's the closing question. Will you let Jesus be at the center of all of your relationships? Not just in theory, but in how you love, how you speak, how you lead, how you live at home. You need to know when Christ takes his rightful place at the center of a home, he does more than improve behavior. He reorders how you love. He reshapes your desires and teaches sinners how to die to themselves for the good of one another. And when that kind of gospel renewal takes root in families, the effect never remains private. Grace begins to spill outward. It spills into our church. It spills into our communities. It spills into our neighborhoods, because the healthy families become living witnesses to the reconciling power of Christ. You need to know that God is walking with you wherever you are, whatever season of life, whatever season your family is in. God has a plan for you, and the future is bright because he ordered it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. I want to pray, God, for those who are here, and maybe they're in a beautiful season of life. Every marriage is going great. Children are going great. Relationships are perfect. But for the rest of us, Lord, who may be struggling in one or multiple areas, I pray, God, that you would touch them in this moment. Maybe it's a relationship with a parent. I pray, God, that you would bring reconciliation there. Maybe there's a marriage here that they may be sitting in this room and they are not sure if they'll make it to tomorrow. God, let them know that what Jesus did on the cross has power to cover whatever happened. Maybe there's some children who have gone astray or who are just not following the Lord. I want parents to know that God is with them. Keep praying for them. Keep walking with them. Keep sharing scripture, and the Lord will do the rest. So, Father, I pray, God, for your people. Help us all. It's in the perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.